Thank you, team, for sharing with us today. What a great, great job. I appreciate the ministry that you do and the way that you lead us to the throne of grace. Wonderful job. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke chapter 22. We want to continue today with this series we're doing on events that took place between the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem until the time of the crucifixion. So this particular thing that we're going to be looking at today involves a discussion that takes place. In fact, that's what the title of the message is the discussion. The Gospel of Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verses 24 through 34. Luke 22, verses 24 through 34. And Luke, the doctor, records this. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. This is the disciples, okay? And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, so many times we speak without thinking. Father, so many times we do things that we know are not right. Father, so many times we just kind of involve ourselves in that which is not honorable. And so, Lord, we're asking today that you would help us to catch in our hearts the passion of a servant and not one who lords over others. And so, Father, please bless this time together with your wisdom, and we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Out of this particular passage, I want to share with you three things this morning. I want to share with you the dispute, and then the distribution, and the denial. So let's begin by looking, first of all, at the dispute. We find it in the 24th verse. "And there arose also a dispute among them as which one of them would be regarded to be the greatest." Now, this is not the first time this discussion has come up with the disciples. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, you'll find that Jesus had to deal with it there. And as these guys are disputing among themselves, okay, I'm a little more important than you are, or I'm a little bit better than you are, I'm a little higher on the chain than what you are, Jesus takes at that time and he sets a child in their midst and he says, "I'll tell you what, guys, there's not a one of you is any more valuable to me than this little child." And there was another time when a dispute arose because James and John's mom came before Jesus, and she said, you know what, Jesus, I have a request to make of you. And he says, speak. And she says, I'd like my boys to sit one on your right hand, one on your left, when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. That's not mine to give. That's reserved for whom the Father will place there. And yet still, a third time, and it says at that point that there arose a dispute among them, and basically they were upset that James and John's mom had beat them to the punch. But then we come down to this particular week, this holy week. Jesus has entered into the city, and there have been the great crowds and the great accolades, and everybody is praising him. He has had a couple of times where he has set the Pharisees on their ears. He has come into the temple and he's cleansed that out, and these guys are getting just a little bit puffed up. See the guy we run with? See what he does? He sure shut the boys up, didn't he? And they begin to dispute among themselves who's going to be closest. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Things haven't changed much. In the modern day church, there are those who are constantly striving for power. Give me power. Give me authority. Let me be the big honcho. Let me be the one in authority, in control. Jesus looks at the boys as they're getting this mindset among themselves as to which one is the greatest. And Jesus begins to look at them and says, boys, you don't get it at all. We have dealt with this issue before. We have struggled through this. I have talked with you about this. Remember the kid? I brought the kid and I saw him right there. Unless you take the kingdom like this little child. Children have no aspirations for control. Have you ever noticed that? They don't like to be controlled, but they have no aspirations to be the big honcho. But these guys were constantly struggling over this issue of who is more important for the kingdom's sake. And a dispute. I love that word. You know what it means? A heated argument. A heated argument arises up in them. A dispute. Pitting one against the other. One against the other. One against the other. In a heated fashion. You know what we call those things? Fights. Have you ever had a dispute with your husband or your wife? What do you call it? A fight. My wife and I had a fight. Boy, if she would only learn that I'm always right, things would go a whole lot smoother, you know. But there was a dispute, a heated argument that takes place among these disciples over who is the greatest. Apparently, Muhammad Ali was not there to straighten them out. You may smile at that, Andrew, if you want to. And so you notice, beginning at verse 25, that Jesus again deals with this subject. And he approaches it from a little different angle this time because he talks about distribution that is going to be taking place. Look at it, verses 25 to 30. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you, but let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Uh-oh. You can see the flushing of the cheeks. No longer in anger, but in embarrassment. I mean, here's the King of Kings. Here's the Lord of Lords. Here is the teacher. Here is the Rabboni. Here is the great rabbi. And this is the guy who in a very short period of time is going to kneel before these disciples and he's going to wash their feet in a demonstration of humility. Guys, it's not about power. It's not about control. It's not about being who you are. It's about the kingdom. Jesus is looking at these guys and he's saying, look, if there's anyone here who could exercise authority, if there's anyone here who could be the benefactor over everybody, if there's anyone here who ought to be served, it is me. But what am I doing? Serving others. Stop and think about it. Is he right? I mean, folks, let's face it, Jesus is involved in this whole issue of creation. You'll remember back in Genesis chapter 1, about the 26th verse, and God says, let us make man after our image. Who's he referring to? He's referring to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So Jesus is involved there. And we go back, we go into the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about this Jesus, and he says, hey man, this is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth, before the world was ever set in motion, before God spoke and it was, before God breathed and life came into man, before any of that took place, there's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all creation. If anyone ever deserved to be served, it's him. And what does he say? I come as a servant. Not as a benefactor, but as one who serves others. Fellas, if you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant of all. See, that's not the way the Pharisees viewed things. The Pharisees were the ones who walked around in the big long robes like this. I am something awesome. I am something amazing. You should be subservient to me. And Jesus takes the whole other approach. The one who deserves to be served, serves. The whole concept is altogether different. The embarrassment begins to come to the faces of these disciples. Look at verses 28 through 30. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. Boys, we've been through some tough stuff. You guys have been there. It's been pretty awesome. But it's coming to a close. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Fellas, it's not about greatest. It's about service. And as you serve, you become great. You have served me and have been with me through these amazing 3.5 years. You'll be rewarded for that. But it's not about you. It's not about you. And so he speaks here of distribution. You're all going to get a throne. You're all going to get privileged. You're all going to be judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be equal distribution. Then he makes an interesting turn in the third point in this message, the aspect of denial. He says, Simon, by the way, that would be Simon Barjona, who became Peter. He says, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Did you ever wonder why? Why Peter? Why him? That had nothing to do with the idea that he became the first pope. Nothing to do with that at all. But it had to do with the declaration that Jesus made. Remember the declaration? Peter has declared, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. When Jesus had asked the question, who do men say that I am? And these guys are speaking up. No, someone said you're Elijah. I heard that the other day. You're Elijah, come back from the dead. And another one says, oh, you say you're Abraham or one of the great prophets of the past. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, who do you think? Who do you think that I am? And Peter's the one who steps up and he says, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. You see, that word Christ and the combination of Messiah means you are the smeared out one. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is title. Jesus the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus goes, Pete, you got it. Finally, it's sinking into you what this is all about. Because of that, your name is no longer Simon, but it is Peter the Rock. Upon this rock, myself, I will build my church. Peter, you're going to be a big name boy in this whole process. Peter, And Satan begins to go, oh no. Oh no, that's all we need. That's all we need is one of these guys to rise up and become some type of big shot authority here and carry on what Jesus is beginning. That's all we need. So Jesus indicates that Satan goes before God and he demands permission. Isn't that an interesting statement? He demands permission. I'm going to do this, Lord. Okay. I'm going to sift him like wheat. All right. May I have your blessing in this? I'm going to tear him apart. Okay. And then Jesus says this, Satan has come demanding permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I love that. You know Jesus prays for you? Continually, he prays for you. He is the intercessor. He's the one that takes you before the Father. Continually praying for you, interceding on your behalf that you won't lose your faith, but that your faith will grow. Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you don't lose faith. Because Peter, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Before morning breaks on this very day, before morning breaks, you'll have denied me that you even know me 3 times. But I've prayed for you. And Peter, when you're restored, when you're renewed, feed my brethren. Here's your job. Do you remember, Peter? You're going to be a big shot in this organization. You're now the rock. You are the stone. You're some big shot. You're going to be a person of authority. You feed the brethren. You lead them. You see, Jesus knew, oh my goodness, Jesus knew that there would come a time when the Word of God would need to go out to the whole world. And so he chose Peter as the one through whom the message of salvation would go. Happened first with the Jews on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and their thousands get converted. About 3,000 plus the women and children. So there's thousands that get converted on the day of Pentecost. And then there's that time a little later on where the sheets let down out of heaven. And God is trying to make Peter understand, okay, we're not going to be an exclusive organization here, but the Word of God has got to go out to the whole wide world. And so he was trying to let him know, it's not Jews alone, but it's Gentiles as well. I want them all. I want them all. Remember, Peter, you're the rock. Remember, I prayed for you. Remember, Peter, I'm going to build on you. Remember, Peter, don't lose your faith. How you doing? Have you lost your faith? Is that what's going on? Is that what's going on in your individual life? You're beginning to question and doubt God like the world has? You're beginning to question everything about God? You're beginning to question whether or not God is some kind of a tyrant? Because after all, He's the one who has set the rules and has said, look, there are moral standards by which a person must live if they want to have a part in My kingdom. God, You have no right to tell me how I can live my lifestyle. I'll live my lifestyle any old way I want to live. Have you lost your faith? Are you questioning the integrity of God? Jesus prays for you. Don't lose your faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. Push forward. God will work all things out to His will, not yours and not mine. His will. Even Jesus didn't get His will. A little while later, He's kneeling down in a garden. He's saying, man, Dad, if there's some other way. But nevertheless, not my will, but Your be done. Your will be done. Doesn't have to be Your way, but it's got to be His. Let's stand. Kept you over this morning. I apologize for that. But let's close in a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, I pray that somehow You would break through the disputes that we involve ourselves in. And that You would teach us to search You and to search Your Word and to search Your way and help us to learn that it's not about who we are, it's about who You are. It's not about being a benefactor. It's about being a beneficiary. Lord, it's not about control. It's about submission. Lord, teach us to be submissive to You. For it's in Your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day in Jesus.